Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith, and joining me today in studio is Lila Barney. Welcome.
Hello.
And Adriana Hasso, the administrative assistant of the language department. And Lila was the intern this year from Klamath Community College, spending a summer in the language department. Did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, I learned a lot of new stuff about culture and language.
You born and raised around here?
Yes, I grew up in Chiloquin, went to elementary school. My mom taught at the elementary school as well.
And Adriana is the assistant, but she does much more than you think, including contributing 3 articles in the latest Klamath Tribes news.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Wizard of Oz. I'm like behind the curtain or like the puppet master, and then like Georgine and Steve are the people that you see up front, but the person who's really doing all the legwork is me. Just kidding. For legal purposes.
So Lila, what did you do this year? What was your highlight as an intern for the language department?
Probably all of the stuff that we did out of office. Like we went to the youth summit at OIT. We went to pick huckleberries, and we got to go to culture camp. Those are the highlights of my summer.
Did you learn any language?
Yeah, I learned a lot of language. I learned a lot of stuff that I forgot because I learned a lot when I was younger, but I just didn't keep up on practicing.
Yeah, you got to stay on top of language or you lose it quickly.
Key.
What did you learn? What language?
Well, I think both languages are really cool because I am Paiute and I'm Klamath, but I think I focused a lot on Klamath just because it's what I knew the most in already.
You're entering your second year at KCC.
Yes, I'm getting my transfer degree. I'm thinking maybe transferring to OIT.
Oh, you're going to stay local though. And what do you think you're going to go on to major in?
I'm not sure yet. I think what I want to do changes all the time. Just when I see someone in our tribe doing something new, then that usually influences what I want to do. I'm like, oh, why don't I look into that? That sounds like a cool career.
How's KCC been?
Well, I started in person. I'm doing it online now just so I can work. But I think it's a lot more community oriented than like a big university, which is really nice transferring out of like a high school and going into college.
Do you have a lot of other fellow tribal members at KCC?
I'm sure I do, but I'm not as involved in the community as I should be at KCC.
What made you think of being an intern this year at the language department?
I knew it would be a good opportunity to get my foot into the door working for the tribe because that's the goal for a lot of people, I think, or a lot of tribal members, is just to like be able to work and get all the like good benefits, but like also work for your people and just be part of the community. And that's a great way to be part of the community, is to work for the tribe.
Is today your last day or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
And how many months did you work?
I think I started in mid-June, maybe.
Very good. Do you want to come back next year?
If there's a spot for me, yeah, that would be really cool to come back next year.
Adriana, talking about the language department, one of the exciting things, and you wrote about this in an article in the newspaper coming out next week of the Klamath Tribes News, is you're working with Chiloquin Elementary School on language lessons.
Yeah, Lila's lucky that she doesn't got to stick around for that. That is a lot of work. It's super exciting. I think it's a really cool thing, but there's only 3 of us that work in this department. And, you know, I'm not technically a teacher, so it's going to be a lot of work and it's going to be a really big challenge. And I'm excited to see how Steve and Georgine take it up. And I've worked with him for a while now, but I don't know. I haven't seen him under a lot of pressure, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, we just met with them earlier today and spoke to their teachers, and everyone is, I mean, really excited. I think there were a couple of them that were ready to shed some tears, and we'll be at Chiloquin Elementary School's open house tonight. And then as we've been preparing for that, luckily a lot of the work has been done for us throughout the years. Culture and Heritage did a lot of work developing curriculum decades ago, in the late 90s and in the early 2000s. And the other day I was asking, well, I talked about this in my article, but I was asking Georgine for a specific story that was referenced in one of the curriculums. And she goes in the corner and hands me a stack of stuff, and I go through it, and it's a bunch of Harold Wright stuff, who was her brother, well, is her brother, and was a language teacher for the Tribes of Nai, works for Modoc Nation, I believe. And there was so much detail in it, like his work schedule and all these notes and stuff. And I was like, wow, this has been, as I keep working in this department, I realized that the legacy of language spans way further than we realize. We think of, I mean, I thought of it as something like, oh, they just established the language department, you know, so therefore there'd be a lot more focus on it. But there's actually quite a few individuals who have spent years and years working on this already. And it's really exciting to be able to follow in their footsteps when they've, I mean, they're such incredible people. So it's an honor to be able to take the torch from them and keep up the work.
The curriculum in Chiloquin, so is this going to be every day, every other day? How's it set up?
Well, the reason why I say that I'm excited to see how Georgine and Steve work this out is because it's every day, and it is first through sixth grade, and I mean, we don't know how many kids are going to sign up. There's no cap on how many kids right now can sign up. I mean, for all we know, it's the whole school, so that could be a really big challenge. We know that Chiloquin Elementary has a lot of our local tribal students in it. And I mean, there's a lot of them, but our non-tribal students, you know, they're there too. And if they want to sign up too, that's a lot of kids. It literally could end up being the whole school. I'm suspecting that it's going to be more than what we're predicting or what people are expecting. They showed us a classroom area, so they gave us a space for us to pretty much move in there for the year and set up shop and keep our material and stuff. And they're like, oh, this classroom fits about 16 students. And I was like, okay, well, we're going to have to move this to the gym, I think, because I think it's going to be way more than 16. You know, some of the grades are combined, like fifth and sixth are together. And so I'm thinking, geez, this is going to be a lot of students, which isn't a bad thing, obviously, but it's going to be a challenge.
The structure and the lessons themselves, is this working off of a book, or who's setting that up?
Well, Culture and Heritage developed a workbook in the 90s, and Georgine uses that to teach adult classes in Klamath and Modoc. But also, a lot of the previous language teachers who were working under Culture and Heritage on language had developed pretty in-depth curriculum for select grade levels. So we're working through that, the material that they already created. As we go, I know that we're probably going to have to create new material for some of the things. But also, our dialect of Yuhuskin Paiute, that nothing has been developed for that, really. No curriculum. I mean, we have a book that was developed alongside the workbook that was developed for Klamath and Modoc, but as for teaching it in schools, I mean, teaching it on Zoom is a big deal because that's never happened. We've never taught Paiute classes, you know, until the last few years. And then now teaching it to children, and there's no curriculum written for that. The curriculum that was created by previous language teachers and stuff is Klamath and Modoc. So not only are we probably going to have to create more material for Klamath and Modoc, but we're completely starting, well, not completely, because we're working, it's complicated, but you know, we're having to develop pretty much an entire curriculum for Paiute, building off of what they created for Klamath and Modoc, and sort of translating it it's not completely translatable. They're two different cultures, you know, but so that's a big deal. That part is a really big deal that Paiute will also be taught with this because that's just never happened.
Is this the only school in the county having a language course for tribal languages?
Yes. So
groundbreaking.
Yeah. It's, again, there was teachers who did this in the past who went to a lot of the public schools. I think what's different about this besides Paiute is the fact that we're going to be spending like 5 days in one school. I think before, from what I've pieced together from digging around in the department, is that they did go to the schools a lot, but I think they jumped around to different schools. It's unfortunate that we can only teach at Chiloquin Elementary. I mean, it's closest to us, and we know that it has the biggest population of tribal students there, but there's only so many language teachers. I mean, there's only three of us in our department, and so, I mean, I hope that we'll get the chance to do some work. I know last year, the last school year, I set up, the way this whole thing started was I set up language workshops to teach some language posters that I created, and I made up some lesson plans and then got the green light from Georgine and Steve and went to a few of these schools, and then Chiloquin Elementary, I guess maybe they were thinking along the same lines as us and interested in implementing tribal language into the school. We went to Warm Springs K-8 Academy, where they teach tribal language every day to all grades. And we went there, me, Georgine, and Steve went there, and then the principal and vice principal from Chiloquin Elementary School were also there. So because we both witnessed that together, we were really on the same page. But because we're limited in staff and in language teachers in general, it's just at Chiloquin Elementary for now. Hopefully we can expand it, but we're going to need a lot more resources to do that.
Teacher assistants.
Yeah, that's pretty much me.
But we could recruit somebody like Lila.
Lila, yeah, Lila. So it's a good thing that Lila's here right now. I hope she's been inspired. I know I have. I went into this like, oh yeah, language is cool. And now I'm like, actually, it's a kind of a huge deal. And it's really, really essential. So hopefully Lila's super inspired and will come back and, you know, maybe be one of our teachers. In the near future, hopefully the department will be expanding to hire on new language trainees, is what it's called. But
as a trainee, you could be learning the language while teaching it with your background, right, Lila?
Yeah, I know for me, language is really important, but I also am a bit anxious about it because I know it has sparked a lot of conflict in my family and, you know, other people's families just with pronunciation and stuff. And I always feel like I'm always so scared to overstep or, you know, teach something incorrectly and then talked bad about or whatever, just because it's such a small community that it's hard to make mistakes. So I don't know if I would be ready to do that right now, to be a language teacher, but I still think it's really cool to work around it though and to learn what everyone's up to.
So that's our challenge, Adriana.
Yeah, that was a challenge for me too when I first started here. And then recently I've been like, as I'm working on material, and I was actually was just talking to Harold Wright about, I was asking him to explain the grammar to me and the syntax, because I'm like, well, now I can understand the pronunciation, or I can pronounce stuff and I can read stuff and guess how it's pronounced. But now I don't know how to make sentences. And so I was asking about how to make sentences. And then I thought, you know what? If it's wrong, it matters, but it matters more that we're using the language and using the words. So I was like, why don't I put, you know, obviously I'm going to keep studying the grammar and syntax and trying to figure out how it all works. But, you know, as I figure that out, I'm kind of interested in throwing the rules out the window a little bit and just using it, because I think that's more valuable than, you know, stepping around and being, you know, walking on eggshells or being scared that somebody's going to call you on it. And now I'm like, it doesn't matter. I don't care what anybody says to me. What matters is that we're using the words and that we're trying more than anything. So to anybody who's scared of that problem, I mean, that's a super valid concern to have when learning the language, but it doesn't matter if you're perfect. What matters is that, especially with our language and given the condition that they're in, what matters is that you're actually trying to use them and, you know, that you're practicing and, yeah, pretty much just speaking it. It doesn't, I mean, we can learn the rest later. There's time for that. But for now, while we're learning that, we may as well just say what we can and do what we can.
And we mentioned Georgine and Steve. That's Georgine Nelson, the director of the language department, Steve Weezer, head instructor. And tonight you have the open house. So what are you expecting to accomplish? And what time is it and where is it?
The open house is at 3 to 4, so only in like an hour or so here, at Chiloquin Elementary. And I don't know what to expect. I was going to print out maybe like 50 handouts, and then I emailed the school, and they were like, probably prepare for 100-ish. And then actually, why don't you just print 250 copies of everything to be safe? So I spent like 4 hours yesterday stapling 250 copies of what we needed to have. So I think all of us in the department have been briefly mentioning to people in passing that we're doing this, but we haven't fully released the info to like the full tribal membership. I was just asking Georgine today if she's ready to do that, because I'm like, well, we're out of time. School starts now. There's no point in putting it off. I mean, there's no backing out of the project now. Now we're fully committed, which is good, but in it, you know, so a lot, I think tonight this will be people's, a lot of tribal parents and parents of children at Chiloquin Elementary, this will be their first exposure to the concept. This is a really big change. The school changed their entire schedule for first through sixth grade and stuff to fit this in and to allow for this to happen. So I'm not sure what, I know tribal parents will probably be excited, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what people are going to think or what, you know, the entire audience, how they're going to react. I think, well, I don't know. That's what we're going to see tonight. But this will be people's first formal exposure to what's about to happen.
It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but it's also very important, and it's an initiative that is proudly taken by your department, and better to have too many students than not enough interest, right?
Exactly. It's scary. I mean, can you tell that I'm a little bit stressed out about the whole thing, that I may or may not be second guessing what's going on here? I'm a little bit concerned, but again, it's like, well, who cares about the rules and whatnot? May as well just do it, you know, even if we struggle through the year, or hopefully just maybe struggle through the beginning until we can get our bearings, you know, it'll pay off. What matters is that we're doing it and that the opportunity's there, and then we can refine and work it out as we go.
Yeah. Uncharted water. And
a little bit, because again, I keep stressing this, there are language teachers who have done these things for the tribe, so it's a little bit uncharted. But luckily, there are those who have walked the path before us. I just don't want to let those people go unnoticed, you know, because
maybe
they've done a lot.
Yeah, you could bring some in as guest teachers during
exactly.
the year, right, and get them involved. How many teachers do we have out there, or elders, that are still pretty good with the language or fluent?
You know, I don't know. I'm working through this piece by piece. I feel like every day I learn a new detail about the past, and it's exciting for me because it's dramatic and I like uncovering all the different details. So I'm going around, and at Health Row, somebody was like, oh yeah, they used to teach us this in school. And I was like, oh really? Who exactly was in your class, and what exactly did they teach you? Because I'm trying to find out, you know, how these things went before. I will try to do a good job of documenting our process as we go through this. I don't know how well they doc. I mean, there's the curriculum. There's Harold's handwritten notes that I've come into contact with. I talk about him like he's dead. He's not dead. He's still here. But these are his notes from when he was a language teacher. I know there was, I don't know. There was a few of them. I don't know all their names, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. There's a few out there who I know.
Maybe
of.
They're listening and they'll get involved.
Yeah. If you can hear this, please help us. We really need help. Just kidding.
Lila, does your family speak any languages at the house?
No, just English at our house.
This could be also an impetus for the parents to get involved with the language if they're not.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really trying to sell. We have a limited time. September 5th is when registration for adult classes closes. So I have until 1 week to try to convince a lot of parents to sign up. And I'm hoping this will be a motivating factor. I just finished reading a book that somebody recommended to me at the Northwest Indigenous Language Institute. They recommended me this book, Atomic Habits, if anybody has read it. And because I was telling her, I was like, how do we get people interested in explaining all my theories about how I'm gonna turn this whole thing around and everybody's gonna be speaking the language in 5 years and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she recommended this book, Atomic Habits, and I just finished reading it yesterday. And I'm gonna, if anybody has, it's kind of like a self-help book about making habits and forming habits and how to stick with things and change your life for the better. I don't need self-help. I already got my life figured out. But I'm hoping, anyways, as I think about that book that I just finished reading, going to be thinking of ways of how to get adults also interested in this, because I know the youth is really important, but I'm not 100% convinced that the youth is the key to revitalizing our language completely. I was thinking, you know, if there was other language teachers who have been teaching this for a long time and they taught it to our youth. Lila said she got taught. People tell me they got taught this in school. Then I wonder why it doesn't stick, and or why, you know, that didn't. You know, I mean, I just think that a lot of the times I hear people say, like, you know, youth is the key to this, or teaching the youth is so important. But I'm trying to work out why, you know, if they spent a lot of time teaching the youth in the past, why aren't we fluent now, or why did people forget it? You know, how do we get people to stick with it and invest in it?
Who taught you, Lila?
Harold Wright.
How much time did you spend with him to learn?
Oh, good question. He definitely did not come every day. I think he came once or twice a week in our classroom, and he would share stories with us, and every week we'd have a new animal name. Like, each of us, we'd like pick a little stuffed animal out of a big bag of them, and we'd learn that name in Klamath, and that would be our like animal for the week. I remember learning a lot from him back in the day.
2 days a week.
Something like that, yeah. Maybe like every other day or something.
Now you're going every day, which will make a big difference.
I find that
when you have to learn language every day, you got to be practicing and learning.
I know, it's...
Because I learned Chinese in China, and there's no way you can learn that language part-time.
Right, that's the whole thing with learning it. Any language, too, is they're like, oh, you have to move to the place, and you'll get it if you move to the place and, you know, you're around it constantly. Which is why it's so important that adults also sign up for language classes, or the parents of these kids sign up for language classes, because it can't be a part-time thing, like you said. You can't. So if they're hearing it at school, and if they're going home and hearing it, and also parents and children learning together, that's a rewarding experience. I hope they'll take the opportunity and take the leap into learning the language. I know people probably are like, well, I want to, or I'm going to sign up, and they don't do it for some reason. So hopefully this will be a deciding factor in pursuing learning the language.
Well, watching you guys and listening to the language being spoken around here, I'm totally intimidated. I mean, I learned Chinese, like I said, but I find that was a difficult language, but it's not as difficult as tribal languages. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm like, whew, there's this pronunciation's a way to use your tongue and lips or whatever to get words out. I don't even know if I could do that.
Yeah. I only just recently has my perspective really changed. I went to, I wrote an article about it, and it'll be in the newspaper if you guys want to take a look at it. But I went to a language class taught by Dr. Joe Dupree, which is, he's a linguist and a tribal member. And this actually really changed my perspective, I think, and partly helped me move from point A to point B of like being scared and then not being scared, is because I went to his class, and it was in Eugene, and it was for 5 days. And I went in there, and he was making us do immersion, and I was really pissed off. I was like really, really mad that I was having to do this immersion, and I was like, I can't do it. Like, I was embarrassed. It was awkward. I was like out of my comfort zone. Like, and it was at the University of Oregon, and I like a university setting. I took Spanish in college and whatnot, but I was so mad, and I was like, I can't do this, and I just really wanted to give up. And when we took a break, I was like pretty much about to start crying, because I was like, this is too hard. I can't do this. And I was like, I'm not kidding. I felt like I was having a full meltdown, and I felt so bad for my classmates because, and Georgina was there, and Georgina's my boss, and I was like, I can't do this, you know, like I couldn't even contain my emotions despite the fact that like I was supposed to be working with my boss. Like, I was really upset and I was really mad and I couldn't do it and I was just so embarrassed or whatever. And then that was the first day. So we spent 5 days of doing this, and the people in that class, there was a few older people, and they like wouldn't stop with the positive reinforcement. And I'm like to think of myself as like a wild stallion, you know, I don't follow the rules and I'm untamed, but their positive reinforcement totally broke me. And I guess from that moment on, or from the, I mean, by the end of that week, I was like, yippee, like, or actually ditchy, he taught us that, but, but their positive reinforcement, I think this is what worked, you know, because I was thinking, I was like, that's not even usually like me as a person. Usually I wouldn't be so angry and unwilling to try new things, but I was thinking, like, how did that work? Like, how did they change my perspective, you know, the whole group? And I think the age-old method of positive reinforcement got me. And even though I'm aware of how all of that works, I was still... it worked. I don't know. I'm like aware of the concept and teaching people those types of things. But it worked on me, basically. I was a wild horse and they broke me, and they broke me with positive reinforcement. And it's really that simple. I mean, that's something that you use on dogs, you know, like positive reinforcement. Like, the dog does a good thing and you give it a treat, you know, like, it's like the simplest concept. And it was that simple to break me. And again, usually I wouldn't be like that, so angry about it. But, you know, sometimes I do always like to go against the grain. But it was that simple. So to anybody who is interested in learning the language, or to any parents of the children, positive reinforcement, we have to, like, break down that shame that comes with, first of all, that comes with our language and tribal languages specifically, right? Because we know how we lost our languages. And then also just like the embarrassment and being scared, and scared that somebody's going to yell at you, or that they're going to clock you on not saying it right or doing it right. I mean, everybody just has to be mature, and we have to be, you know, positive about the whole thing and use positive reinforcement. It's really that simple. is like saying good job, or like, you know, not falling victim to like negativity and stuff around our languages. But that's all it took for me to, for my whole perspective to change, was literally just positive reinforcement. And it was a group of like 15. So there was a few people who were kind of feeding me that, like, they were literally were like, good job. And that's all it was. That's all, like, so if everybody could just change their mindset, I think people don't even have a negative mindset. Everyone's just insecure about that maybe happening, but it's really not like that. You know, we really don't need to be scared of that. We got to give up those, yeah, those insecurities. We got to throw them out the window and reinforce each other and, you know, be good to each other about learning the language.
I think with children, you won't find it as much, the insecurity.
No. Children don't have shame. That's a,
well, they don't know what insecurity
is. This part
is
easy. I mean, I guess that's mostly to the parents and to the young, you know, to anybody who's not a child. They should know about, you know, they should be dishing out positive reinforcement and taking it. But to children, whew, that's no problem. They don't care. They don't have shame. They take anything and everything. And we won't have to deal with that as much with children, I guess. But I guess, yeah, to the adults and stuff. Yeah, children are easy to teach the language. They pick it up pretty easily.
Well, we will see how it goes. And perhaps we'll even get a column out of you for the next newspaper. It comes out in November, about the elementary school experience teaching them the Klamath tribal languages.
Yeah, maybe in a month we'll do a check-in or something.
Right. Let's do that.
I have no idea how it's going
to
go.
I can't wait to watch now. I'm like a spectator watching from a bleacher to see how this unfolds.
Yeah, hopefully we don't crash and burn. That's either way, it's fun to watch.
You're not going to crash and burn. You're going to do great.
Yeah.
Positive reinforcement.
Exactly. See, that's all you need to do.
Very good. Lila, thank you for joining me today on the Klamath Tribes podcast, and thanks for being an intern this summer at the Language Department. Good luck with your KCC second year, and we'll look to see you back here again next summer.
Oh, yeah, thank you, guys.
And Adriana, thanks for the update on the Chiloquin Elementary School language courses that are being offered. Exciting stuff.
It's subkecha, guys.
And thank you, everybody. We'll have another talk in another Klamath Tribes podcast. Stay tuned. You can listen to this on Spotify and at the KlamathTribesNews.org website. Just click on the podcast on the homepage.